get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This hour brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you have a grocery store, liquor store, retail store, and you're having trouble getting cashiers, we'll do what the big boys are doing, like Home Depot, Costco, and Walmart. Get yourself a self-checkout system. That's right. Call them at 800-540-2149. They'll come out. They'll look at your facility. And if their system will work for you and it turns into a win-win, Jeff, Mark, Beth, Ted, Tony, and Ramon will be more than happy to put your system in and support it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. 800-540-2149. If folks don't want to work, you have an alternative. Southwest Point of Sale. Also, I want to thank Alpha Site Logistics for supporting SDORC Dirt Radio. They've been serving Imperial Valley for over 20 years. They offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Call them at 760-352-8383. If you're planning an event out in the desert, make sure you call them early. And you can check them out at Facebook at www.facebook.com/alphalogistics.com or just Alpha Logistics, and you'll see them. Audrey and Ed's in the house today. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Excellent.
Doing real well. Thank you, Dave.
No trauma in your week this week?
You know, how's living life coming? In the fast lane.
You haven't rolled your Jeep. You haven't run over anybody? Or
No. Spent part of the week hanging off the side of El Cajon City Hall. Do it for work, but aside from that,
hanging off the side of the building,
pretty much.
Is that what the judge told you to do?
Jeez, I don't think I want to know why you got that sentence.
But. No, it's for my work at Glasgow. So, we're reglazing the windows out there.
They're making you hang off the side of the building.
Well, I'm a project manager, so I'm watching my guy who's on a bosun chair on the side of the building, 110 feet up off the.
Have you ever heard of binoculars?
Yeah, I ran back and forth.
Because you don't look like somebody that would bounce real well. You know, no offense, but,
I was trying to be the one to have him let me go down the side.
Oh, you want to set the example.
Well, yeah, of course I do. You
She's
know
a leader.
They're all a
Dave's
little
questioning
afraid of heights. And,
Audrey's
and
balance?
Freezing
You've
up.
Never I'm seen like, her on my three-wheeler in the desert, sliding around the turn, bouncing over the hills.
Oh, I know how to throw my hips around.
And never fell off?
I don't think you've ever fallen off my three-wheeler all those rides.
I don't think I actually have. I haven't fallen off. I did almost make it up the hill the last
that
time,
one
but
time?
I rolled it. I caught myself and brought it back
That's
down,
right.
And I worked it all the Shall way down we, the hill. I didn't flip at all.
Shall
I
we knock
rolled.
On a little wood right
that
here?
That was it. By Pain, out of Painted Gorge. Between Painted Gorge and Ocotillo, that one deep wash.
I haven't even
through.
Actually ran my leg over on your three-wheeler. Now my husband's 250R that's built to the till, I almost ripped my
famous
calf
for tearing
off.
Your leg.
Yeah,
you put your foot down and the back tire just grabs it and pulls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's in the operator's manual.
I love three-wheelers. Yeah, never put your foot down.
If you want to get your leg ripped off, put your foot down. It says it right on page 9.
Yeah.
And a picture of Audrey.
You want a tire track on your calf?
Yeah, it's so there's a few different things going on to talk about. There was we kind of touched base on the OHV MBR OHMVR commission meeting that happened, off-highway motor vehicle.
Recreation Commission
meeting that happened. There was some good speakers, excellent speakers that were able
you were
to
just
speak
playing
at that.
A video for us. Karen Sudi,
yes.
Who's the wife of
Jim
Sudi, and he's president of Friends of Oceano Dunes.
Yes.
She's a very passionate.
I was
going
to say, remind me not to make her mad.
Oh gosh, no.
Yeah. So she got up and she gave him an earful.
Yes.
Well, and you know, I listened to it before we came on air. Thank you for motivating myself.
Yeah.
Now I'm angry. But I mean, she made perfect.
Oh, you get so mad.
She makes. I do. I get so.
I do too. Irritated. That's why I do this.
I get irritated in this hour, and then I'm cool the next, and then I'm irritated.
Then you get to the gun rights.
Yeah. Then I'm irritated.
And then you're ready to throw something through the window.
You know, I gotta tell you. I mean, and we have got to start standing up.
Yeah.
Whether it's.
I agree.
Whether it is, you know, for the desert, for the beaches, we've got to quit being so complacent. And just sitting back on our butts thinking that somebody else is going to do it for us. You can hang on to that. And you know, it literally irritates me to no end. I mean, we've got to start fighting the fight. Because if we don't, they'll just walk all over us.
Yes.
Yeah. And your kids and your grandkids are all going to be in serious trouble.
So what Audrey's talking about is Oceano Dunes, otherwise known as Pismo Beach. It's an off-road park where you can drive on the beach and the sand dunes just inland by San Luis Obispo.
Yep.
So a couple of years ago, we saw that the air pollution people were giving the park a hard time. They were really turning the screws, and the park had to take a variety of measures to reduce dust blowing off the place. And it's an extremely dusty place. Those sand dunes were made by the wind blowing beach sand inland. It's been happening for thousands and thousands of years. So
they
got
upset. They want to stop it.
Well, so state parks bent over backwards. They satisfied the air pollution people. So
they put in these horrible, ugly wind orange fences and unsafe locations.
Then
they threw hay out.
Fish and wildlife people, there's 10 listed species in that area between the federal list and the state list, and there's threatened. And there's endangered.
This is one that chaps my hide.
There's 10 species. And so now the fish and wildlife people wanted stuff done. So state parks did a lot of stuff, and they satisfied them.
Planting grass, which is an invasive species.
They did stuff for the birds, the snowy plover, and the least tern. They did a lot of stuff to help, and they satisfied these people. And then out of the blue, the Coastal Commission said, oh, you need to renew your permit. I'm like, what? Like, what's the timeline on the permit? Well, it's been 21 years. So why is it an odd number of years? It's just weird that when those two agencies couldn't close the place, now this one's going
to
come in
and try to
close it up. And the timing is weird because it's not like a uniform number of years before you need a new permit.
And I would say, can you show me with the permit that says it expires in 2021, August?
It's just weird. And so they went through some gyrations.
Can they show you that permit? Has anybody asked them to show me?
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Well, no, but
it's sort of an odd 30-year permit.
It's just weird.
Yeah, but see, that's your right. That's your right to see. You know, that'd be like if somebody says, I'm evicting you.
Yeah.
Well, why are you evicting me? Because you didn't make your payments. Well, can you show me where I didn't make my payments?
Yeah, but
no, we're just going
to evict
you.
Due at the end of the month, and this is the middle of the month. Yes, yeah, like the president's been in office 3 years. Well, it's time.
You
get a 4-year term. So it's weird.
Do we really look that stupid? I mean,
the Coastal Commission, they had a vote, and I've seen a lot of these kind of bodies make votes, and I've never seen a 13-0. A vote that was extremely controversial because a lot of people want to have the place open, and there's a good number of people that want to see it closed. There's people that like it's a controversial subject. Does Oceano Dunes, all the Sierra Clubbers want it closed, all the off-roaders want it open. There's 13 people, every single one voted to close it. That seems a little weird to me.
But why would they want to destroy all those businesses in Pismo Beach?
Well, that's one of the arguments and the issues. They're saying
the Sierra Club
that
doesn't care.
It thrives more. They said last year with COVID, San Luis Obispo County, some of the officials said last year with COVID, with the shutdowns and having the dunes actually closed, that those businesses thrived. When you actually look at that area, what happened, those businesses did not thrive. Most of them are struggling to keep their doors open right now.
Can they give you a list of those businesses
those
that survived?
Once those dunes opened back up and we had people coming back in, they started thriving again.
Well, of course.
And then they had, you know, bringing it back their employees, and it definitely made a difference.
All I can say is I'm nowhere near any of these meetings because I would be handcuffed. I'm telling you. And I would be dragged out by my ankles. Let's take
See, that doesn't achieve anything. You have to be respectful to
I could be respectful.
Point.
I just wouldn't leave the building until I got an answer or documents.
Oh. Well, let's take a break and come back.
See, you got me all fired up. This is STORT Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to STORT Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by the good folks at Wayne Miller Tire.
Wayne Miller Mobile Tire out in Santee. He's here for all your automotive needs. If you need to get an alignment, you need to get your brakes done, you're looking for tires, he's here to help you out. If you're in a big rig stuck on the side of the road or on a construction site and you need your tractor tire changed, give Wayne Miller Mobile Tire a call, 619-596-2800.
So I got a call from a buddy of mine. He said, hey, man, my buddy's trying to put 40-inch tire and wheel on his truck and nobody will mount them. Oh, I got just the guy for you. So I sent him to Wayne Miller. So we'll see how that worked out.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
that's a big that's a big tire.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at the semis. You know, semis, they put big monster tires on their trucks. So I couldn't.
He does it.
Was it a liability thing or just it was too much tire for most shops?
They just wouldn't. I don't think they had the machine to do it. I think it
just
takes
too much tire.
Well, yeah, 40-inch tire and wheel. I think it was on a pickup truck.
Yeah.
So I sent him to Wayne Miller.
That's what the trophy trucks run now, right?
Yeah. A lot of the trucks out there actually run it. You'd be surprised.
So anyway, so we're talking about Oceana Dunes. We're talking about the Sierra Club. We're talking about...
It feels like a conspiracy.
No.
Yeah, that the Sierra Club has infiltrated government, and they're just pushing all the agencies. We don't want that. We don't want off-roading and Oceana Dunes. You got to help us stop it. And they just go from one agency to another till they get what they want.
I mean, one of the things that they talk about, one of the things that Karen Sudi talked about with the OHV commission meeting was throwing down hay. This is something that we touched base on a year and a half ago when we were talking Oceano Dunes. When they did the closure of the 45 acres of the front line and reduced the camping permits in December 2019 down from 950 to 450, you know, this is one of the things they talked about. They went through and threw straw down all over, right? This is reducing the dust and mitigation, right? They're reducing dust. And it's
not indigenous.
And it's not indigenous. And then, you know, I'm sorry. Have you ever been out into the desert in the valley? Have you been in those stacks of hay or stacks of straw? You know what lives in the stacks of straw? Mice and rats, feeding off the bugs and the insects. So you're telling me that we're worried about the endangered
from
species.
Other places.
The snowy plover that's out there, yet they're out there and they just threw out a bunch of straw in Boy Scout.
So they're introducing invasive species. That could maybe eat the eggs.
What's with the dust? How much dust are we talking about? Are we talking Sahara sandstorms?
It's unpleasant when it's blowing out there. It gets in your face.
It's windy
every day. But it's natural dust.
It's natural formation.
The tide goes out. The beach is exposed. It dries out and the wind blows the sand inland.
Didn't we prove last year that the wind is still there? It's not have anything to do with vehicles, has nothing to do with people.
Well, what was actual scientific evidence was the debate all along is that the wind is picking up silica dust and blowing silica dust, and it is a dangerous dust that will affect the people in the nearby community, right? They're breathing silica. Silica's horrible in your lungs, and it's very bad.
It's a certain material,
it's
a certain size. It's that size where it's big enough to stick in your lung. It's like
disproven.
If it's too small, it'll blow in and blow out. If it's too big, it won't get down there. So there's a size range of dust where it'll get in your lung and it'll stay there and it'll cause problems. And so they're saying that this dust is the kind of dust that's toxic to people. Until the Scripps study came out
and
completely reversed it and said,
well, then what was their response after that?
Well, this is the false narrative. We're burying Scripps School of Institute. Let's hide and bury the evidence from the scientists that actually disprove
what our narrative is
and what we've said for the last 20 years and why we need to close this down.
A dust mask.
Wear a dust mask at the beach.
Yeah, the beach is toxic.
They're making you wear masks in schools. They're making you wear a mask everywhere else, and they're trying to get a nationwide
mask. It's out
of
control. We can't do that. We need to fight back. It's unsafe. It's unhealthy. Yeah. I'm rebreathing my own moisture back into my lungs. You know, you want to talk about the issues that we have? I have asthma. I try not to wear a mask as much as I possibly can. It definitely affected me. You know, and then you have the medical community that they're, you know, that's a whole nother subject
in
itself.
So where are we at with this? Hours. I mean, you guys had that big chat last week, 4 hours long or however long it was.
Oh, no, that was all day, 3 day long for the off-highway motor
vehicle. So now what? What happens after that?
See how it moves through and what happens with it. There was a California Coastal Commission meeting last week, too, that played out. Basically, it was a...
So there's an off-road vehicle commission, right? The OHMVR, Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Recreation Commission. So they had a meeting, and people like Karen Sudi and people like us go before them, and they say, we want Oceana Dunes open.
And they're
open.
On your side.
And this commission is on our side. The commissioners are off-roaders. I'm friends with a couple of them, Tom Lemon and Patricia Urena.
They're amazing.
They like off-roading. I took them on a tour last year. I talked about it on the radio. I took them and Brian Jones, the senator. I led them around. They had a great time. Mm-hmm. They like us. So they have this meeting, and this is a public forum where off-roaders can go to the commission and say, we have a problem. Can you help us solve it? So Karen Sudi was up there describing the problem with the dust and the hay and stuff at Oceano Dunes. So she's handing the problem over to the OHMVR commission and asking them to help with it. So the commission sits there and they hear people complain, and then they go back and they work behind the lines, behind the scenes, trying to fix the problem. It's a difficult problem. This is a very difficult problem. I don't know of another way of fixing it besides the lawsuit. Actually, Corva's been talking about a different course of action, and I can't talk about it probably for almost a half a year. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. But it's a difficult problem. We may never get it.
So if you're all wondering why we're making such a big deal out of Oceana Dunes and Pismo Beach, because if it happens there, it can happen anywhere.
I guarantee you the next up in line is Ocotillo Wells. Ocotillo Wells will be the next one that is attacked. Carnegie is currently under attack right now, and they said that they're not giving up Carnegie. You know, the neighbor up there made it very clear in his statements last year that if he loses that lawsuit for the expansion area, he's going to go straight after the SVRA itself. You know, and with this being, you know, the number one thing is dust mitigation. You know, endangered species, they can turn around and say the same thing at Ocotillo Wells SVRA. The wind comes up, it's up against the mountains, the wind comes down through those mountains. They've staged a bunch of, on the other side of the desert, they have half of the deserts taken for windmills for the same, you know, area, the same wind coming through. So how's it, you know, you have military test range going on right there. They come and do touchdowns all the time with helicopters near the, near the dump over Ocotillo Wells on the
by the dry lake right down there by the end of Split Mountain
and
Road.
Every time one of those helicopters comes and touches down and picks up and goes off again, can you imagine the dust
and
that
airplanes
gets picked up
they have
with that?
You know, all week the military sends from El Centro. They send airplanes over there for touch and goes, and the park is like, we don't like it, but what can, you know, that's the American military. We can't stop them.
Yeah, we've reached out to state parks in regards to helping us out with that and trying to help because that's one of the things.
Andrew Albert about it.
They have one of the test stations.
What are we
going to
do?
But how do we impact this?
How do we go about it? You're up against the military with that one. But it's like if they win at Oceana Dunes and Oceana Dunes gets closed down, that just it's fuel for the fire. Our next SVRAs. Right. You can look up Friends of Oceana Dunes. Jared
actually
talked after that.
These airplanes doing touch and goes, it's not necessarily a bad thing for us because if The environmentalists say, okay, there's too much dust coming out of this place. We'll say, well, look, it's not just the off-roaders. The military are doing their touch and goes in there. So go sue the military and leave us alone. So right. It gives us a scapegoat. And right. And they in one of those airplanes going through there, that makes as much dust as 1,000 dirt bikes.
If not more.
And there's never 1,000 dirt bikes out there.
No.
So you have to look at it and it's relative.
Well, it's like you said, you can't get mad. You just got to keep pushing and keep.
You have to understand.
You got to be a fly in the ointment.
You have to understand how the system works. Like, where is the logical point where you can come in? Like, whether you go to a commission meeting, you talk to an elected official, you call somebody who works at an agency. How can we make an effect? And our organization, San Diego Off-Road Coalition, we try to understand how that works and apply our pressure the best way.
So tying the commissioner behind a three-wheeler and going down the sidewalk is not the answer.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if mine would pull, Tom.
Oh, I'd get one big enough. Get a sand car.
We have a state lobbyist, Kathy Lynch, and she helps us. She understands the system much better than Audrey and I.
When are we going to get her on this show? I've been asking.
Yeah, I keep forgetting.
God, your memory is about as...
I hit the ground.
He needs this.
When I broke my ribs, I never hit my head, and I still can't remember.
No. I've been asking to talk to her since we started this radio show, and you keep saying, "Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have to contact her." Right?
I know. After the show, I'm leaving for Big Bear for 3 days.
No, you're not.
Wednesday.
You're going to go home, and you're going to send her an email and say, "We need you to call in next Sunday."
And then I'll go to Big Bear.
Then you can go to
Then
Big
I go drive around in the forest.
Whatever you want to do. But you can't leave
go to the
until
ranger
you
station.
Contact her.
Right.
Kayaking.
Because it sounds to me like I've never met this woman. She's very passionate about what she does.
She's such a professional.
That's what
she's so freaking
amazing.
Good. I've known a bunch of lobbyists. We've had three state lobbyists?
And when's the last time you talked to a lobbyist you liked? Okay, so you need... That's your homework.
Actually, I like all the lobbyists I've worked with. Okay. I don't think they're all the same amount of effectiveness.
True. But you have homework now.
I have homework.
Before you
let's
go to Big
Let's get Kathy
Bear.
On. And let's see. Can you tell us about legislation? Can you tell us about Oceano Dunes?
I think we should have her call in once a month. Now, I already know where the argument's going to be. It's Sunday. I'm with my family. I get it. We're only talking 10 minutes, but I get it. So what we will do is we'll set up a midweek.
Midweek, we'll make a
live
call.
To tape. Pick a day, 10 minutes, no more. And if we got a hold of her once a month to give updates.
I like it.
Yeah, but you're not writing nothing down. But if we do updates once a month and that goes out to the off-road community.
That's huge.
Yeah, and I think it would, and if people heard from her, I think people joining SDORC and Corvin and everything would uptick because they really believe the money they're giving you guys is going to a good cause if she is as outstanding as you guys say she is.
Oh, she's absolutely
amazing.
Right.
She's a pro.
She finds things that...
Okay, so every time you come in studio, I'm not going to leave this alone.
I better have her.
You better have her. But we could do it midweek. We could do a Wednesday.
All right, let's take a break and come back.
All right. Right here on SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
PRMI Mortgage. Tell us about him.
Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. He's here to help you out for any of your loans. If you're looking to refinance your home, if you're looking to be a new buyer, I guess the government has a kickback for you. Chris is here to help you out. Make sure you get your correct tax write-off. Give him a call at 619-713-1303. That's Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. out in Alpine. Chris Wiley.
Or if you want to go dual sporting with Chris and his XR650.
There you go.
He's also a writer.
San Diego Off-Road Magazine. You'll never get more updated information than SDORM. That's SSORM.com. Steve and Sherry do a phenomenal job keeping all you off-roaders up to date. Check them out. You can get them online at www.SSORM.com. There's an opportunity. You can sell off-road products. You can put your cool photos on. And any events coming up, that's probably the best place to go to get that information.
They have the best coming events section. If you like off-roading, you want to go see a race, an expo, a poker run, for all kind of disciplines.
So
trials, vintage, motocross, truck racing, short course, long course.
Side-by-side, dune
side-by-side, dune.
So talking stuff. Events and talking what happened and things to look up, the Sand Outlaw Series happened last week up in Oregon, the Dune Fest up there.
The
that
Sand
was pretty.
Outlaw Series?
Yes, that was pretty
they
awesome.
They race on the sand?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's drags, there's racing, they do different things.
Like official
it's
drag
a,
racing?
It's a huge, yeah, it's a
huge
I've
seen
draw.
Videos of sand drags. Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, they have a few different locations throughout the year. I think there's four or five separate series this year where they're going to be racing. They started in Glamis and they'll end it in Glamis. And so it was pretty awesome watching some of the videos that came out of there last weekend. There's a lot of big names out there.
What's it called again?
That's the Sand Outlaw Series.
Sand. So could you go on YouTube or
oh, yeah.
somewhere and see people going nuts on their sand vehicles?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's... I'll tell you, go watch a video of some sand drags. Like, you cannot believe how fast people accelerate on a soft surface like that.
Oh. So, talking sand drags, that was a perfect leeway. And I have to brag about my next-door neighbor, Ken Stock. Ken Stock has been going to the desert for 30 years. Glamis is his heart and soul, just like mine. He has put a lot of time and energy into his car. He's got a long travel, old-school style long travel buggy that he's built to the tilt. He literally just had spent from New Year's. He blew the motor at the just sand drags at New Year's, literally beat out everybody at the sand drags at Glamis in
winning the races.
Yep,
until his
and
motor
he had
blows.
A Cadillac Northstar in it. He actually just did an LS3 swap.
That's a Cadillac engine.
He had it. Yeah,
is
the
that
Northstar.
A V10?
Yeah,
a V10 built to the. Oh my god.
Built to the tilt. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, pretty much every time he went out from Thanksgiving to New Year's, he had to have the transmission rebuilt. You know, these guys spend a lot of money on their cars.
I wish I had money like that.
Well, he does the horsepower wars that happen. The horsepower wars, same as like the Sand Outlaw Series. It's held a few times a year. Well, it just happened to be this weekend. They raced yesterday, and it was up in Idaho, St. Anthony's Dunes in Idaho.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday.
There's a big dune complex in Idaho.
Oh, it's huge. They have some of the big dunes out there.
Really? Have you seen? Uh-huh. I've never been.
No, I've not been to St. Anthony's. I personally have not been to St. Anthony's. But I've been told that it's like our Dumont. So Dumont for us is there's like
Dumont has
one,
high. I've been to Dumont. They have
big,
high sand piles
it's
out there.
Big. It's a big dune. It's pretty much two dunes, but it's a big dune. But St. Anthony's has a big dune like that. And that's the one that they race up and shoot up. And so he took his car yesterday. And, you know, it's like a bracket series. So you race and race and race and race.
Right,
so the
down
top
to
competitors
the,
down, you know,
down
to the
last
two.
And
yeah, just, you know. And he won. He won the overall.
Your
I think
neighbor
they had
won the overall?
40, yeah, I think
wow.
they had 40 or 45 cars racing yesterday. And he took it overall. So his car's called Anytime Baby. It's just built to the tilt. LS3 swapped out this time. He literally picked it up from Arizona from the company that did it. Didn't have time to test it. They took it straight from the dyno straight up to St. Anthony's. And
wow.
I am so proud of Ken. I just had to brag about my neighbor. I go into the desert with him, spending time out in the dunes. I mean, his car is super fast. So I'm so excited for this season to come and to make it back out to Glamis for that. Just a shout out to his car, Anytime Baby, that's actually from his military background and his time spent. That was what is it called? Your team, your group, your squadron in the military. That was,
yeah, I'm
that
nodding
was the
yes.
name. Yeah. That was the name of his
that's
team.
That's what they called his group.
That's what they called him was Anytime Baby, bring it on. You know, like
they're
ready to
we're
throw
ready.
Down anytime. Yep. Exactly.
If you got it, we got it.
I just had to give a shout out to Ken
awesome.
for the horsepower wars and winning.
Speaking
that
of shout outs, quick shout out to Rick Moore. I wonder if you're listening. Hi, Rick. He's like the oldest supporter of SDRC. Him and Doug McPheeters, they have been helping us every little thing. He's putting flyers out on the shops. And I did a little off-road run. I invited a few people, and Rick was the only one that came. We went up Bear Valley Road from Pine Valley up to the top. Beautiful in the evening. Anyway, he's just one of the great guys that helps us kind of behind the scenes. I asked him to come on the radio. Oh, no, I don't want to come on. But he will help us. He comes to meetings. He comes to events. He volunteers. So awesome dude. It's great to have people like that.
Yeah, definite huge shout out to him.
Can I talk about Friday night after work? I have a non-off-road job. I went over to Cactus Park BMX, and I practiced BMX for an hour and talked to Vince and reminded him, like, okay, you're invited to come to the Lakeside Parade with SDRC and bring the kids. Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of kids coming. So Vince runs the BMX track. He also is a desert rat. He goes to the desert. He's got a he has a Chenoweth buggy with a 1950 engine. He says that thing, it never quits on him.
He comes to the Lost Lizard every year. He's great. They have a lot of, they produce a lot of actual big name riders out of Cactus Park. Some of those have made it really far in the BMX riding industry. I've seen some of them make it out to, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm blanking out on it right now. It just happened. X Games and
really,
yeah, oh
the,
yeah,
the big X jumps, Games,
the big
and stuff.
Jumps, and big time names out in the sport for.
I just thought it was funny. I raced BMX when I was a kid, and there not only was there no gray hair on the track, like when I was 19, 20, I was the oldest kid on the track racing. Well, so.
Not yes, like that anymore.
Friday night, I was riding practice, and I was riding next to kids who could easily be my grandkid.
Yeah.
Not just the dad. like how times have changed. So then yesterday morning, yesterday day, I spent the whole day, 9 to 4:30, on Zoom with the Desert Advisory Council. So what the Desert Advisory Council is, it's people outside of the BLM who – they get together periodically, and we go over activities that the BLM is doing. And this is not the Black Lives Matter BLM. This is the Bureau of Land Management, a federal agency that manages an awful lot of land in the country. So the land that we look at is the California Desert District, which is about 11 million acres of land in the California Desert. So Palm Springs, El Centro, Ridgecrest, Needles and Barstow offices. And the office managers give reports. We had a report on the Desert Tortoise. We actually had a report on the Rebel Rally, Audrey.
Ooh.
Yes, we watched the video and they describe what's going on because they'll be crossing a lot of Bureau of Land Management land.
Yeah, they had to pull separate permits. They have Nevada, Arizona, and California permits that they had to pull for that.
So the lady that processed the permit was on the meeting, and she talked a little bit about it. And they had a video, and they showed the girls, and they had a drone from way above looking at these spectacular pictures and views of the vehicle, and somebody standing on the hill with a shovel, right in the spectacular desert background. It was really amazing.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So we I'll go over just a couple of things they talked about. They're implementing the Western Mojave Route Network project. So if you live in Los Angeles and you want to go to the desert, like you want to go to the northeast, to that side of the desert, anywhere you go would be in this BLM area.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of problems with it over the decades that an environmental group called the Center for Biological Diversity has been giving the BLM a lot of trouble about that. There's been a lengthy, lengthy lawsuit running. Well, it finally ended a couple years ago, and the BLM, there's a route network. They're putting signs up. They're fixing some trails. They're blocking off closed trails. They're just doing stuff. So they gave us an update that they're working on it. They're making a new road into Dumont Dunes. We just talked about Dumont a little bit. It's a fee area. It's a huge dune network. It's an interesting place. So we had somebody talk about the desert tortoise and the recovery plan. The desert tortoise is a federally endangered species. Their population has been dropping. It's a problem because it's a beautiful animal. There used to be a lot of them, and there aren't as many. They talked about three ways they get in trouble. There are vehicle strikes, illness, and they're preyed upon. The babies are preyed upon by ravens. Ravens love to eat the hatchlings, and they are trying to do stuff to save the tortoises by reducing the ravens. But, like, here's the logical thing. We go out there, and we get a hunting group, and we let them shoot the ravens, right? That makes sense. They're not indigenous.
Are they endangered.
They're not endangered. You see them all over. Unfortunately, they're protected by the Migratory Bird Act, a different act. So you have these competing federal acts that are bumping. So the BLM is working with the agency to try to get a waiver for the California Desert District so they can do things to stop.
We need
those.
The turtle police.
Well, you know, they're one of our past presidents, Chris Spafora, our past president. I'm still on Ken's stock. I'm just in shock and awe over my neighbor winning that. Okay, sorry.
Chris Spafora,
our past president, he has actually spent a couple decades working on the California Desert Tortoise, what happened with it and what it is. We could spend a whole hour talking about the illness and what happened with it.
I want to talk about the illness.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have to take a break.
It's almost time for the break.
I know. We have to come back.
I have something really interesting about the illness.
All right. We'll do that right here on SCORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment is brought to you by K&J Termite and Pest Control. It's a family-owned and operated business with over 45 years' experience. Your family,
nice.
Your health, and your home are very important things in the world, and we want to help you protect them. Their safe, reliable, and affordable pest control services will keep your home pest-free and healthy. You can check them out at 619-441-7378, or the website is
kjtermiteandpestcontrol.com.
Good. Check them out. Thank them for sponsoring STORC Dirt Radio. We need to bring them in sometime.
Yeah.
We can talk bugs.
Talk bugs. Right, and they off-road.
So we're talking a little bit about the turtles.
We were on the desert tortoise.
Right.
In California, off-roaders have lost more acres to the desert tortoise than any other cause.
Wow.
So you think about that. Like in the 70s, it was a vast area that you could go off-roading. California was an enormous place. They held races all over. It didn't, it was not controlled. We lost millions of acres to the tortoise.
The 395 in the Mojave Desert.
Mojave Desert Racing.
Yep.
So they got on the list, and people started trying to figure out how to save the tortoises. And they say that vehicle strikes are something that happens to them, and that's true, but not that many.
If you drive down the 395 you'll see millions of dollars of 18-inch high fencing. That's 18-inch down in the deep and 18-inch
tortoise
high.
Fence. Yeah, it's yeah.
Fence. Yeah, but the impacts are on the freeway, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, the tortoise fence is usually on the freeway. Some of them do happen off of the dirt roads.
But the majority of them happen on the freeway when they're walking across the road. You don't see them and spush.
Off-roaders do not want to run over a tortoise.
No.
That's crazy.
Well, it's like running over a block of cement.
We admire them.
It's too steep for a jump. So illness. So there was this. There's a virus that has gone through the population, and it was a problem. And they isolated it. They know what it is. It has killed a lot of them.
COVID.
So recent. It's not COVID. No, it's it's like a herpes virus. And it's an upper respiratory problem. And so the lady who's working on this, she talked about it. And she said they tested tortoises that they found out there. They're perfectly healthy, and they have the virus. And you know what that means is that the ones who are susceptible have died, and the ones who are okay with it are alive. And so there's natural selection happening in the tortoise. Like, okay, this is a virus that some tortoises, they don't die. They live, and then
just like COVID.
Are. It's like
really, when you come right down to
it's just like it's just a part of natural selection.
So closing the desert down would save them in what way?
In almost no way. What we need to do, the biggest problem by far is the ravens, and they're really focusing on the ravens. So get this. They find raven nests, and they put oil on the eggs, and that suffocates the babies.
Yeah, how inhumane.
They put oil on the outside of the shell because the air goes through the shell, and they can breathe that way. So oiling the eggs is one of their things that they do.
Jeez. Terrible.
They found that if they just take the eggs, that the pair will make another nest and lay more eggs. Oh. So they this is how they're trying
and
to
they
reduce
don't do it when they do that. I mean,
they're reducing raven population. So I don't know what's worse, to oil the eggs or to shoot the bird in the air. Yeah. I don't know. In Ocotillo Wells, they have a big fence, three-dimensional fence around the dumpster. And it's not to keep people out. They never lock it. It's to keep the birds from going in the trash and eating and then making more birds. The Imperial Sand Dunes, they have a lot of dumpsters.
Spreading the trash.
They all have lids, right? And you're supposed to keep the lid closed. Mm-hmm. That's because of the birds. Unfortunately, a lot more people live in the desert than used to live in the desert. And when people live in the desert, there's sources of food for the ravens. And they're just doing well out there. And when a clutch of baby tortoise hatch, there's a bunch of baby tortoises walking around. The ravens, they're flying. You see them just coasting around up there. They're looking, and they see that, and they eat all the babies.
Mm.
So that touches base on a lot of stuff, but not for the sicknesses that I was talking about. This is one thing that I learned from Chris back in the industry when I had first gotten into this of the desert tortoise population and what happened and why we saw the drastic crash. In the early 90s, they were doing the research on the desert tortoises and what
with
was going on with them. Yes. And
yeah.
So they had key researchers going out, and they were looking for desert tortoises, and they were catching desert tortoises, taking a sample, tagging them, and releasing them.
They put them in a bag. And they'd bring them to headquarters.
Yeah.
And they'd weigh them, and they'd, you know, write stuff. They'd put a tag on them,
and
they'd
take
them back where they found them and let them go.
Well, they were using a pillowcase for this, you know, each of
the
different
the
researchers that were going out and doing it. Well, they unfortunately were using the same pillowcase and never washing the pillowcase. So you're capturing these tortoises that are healthy as can be, and you're capturing these sick tortoises, you know, that have
they
whatever
that
it
disease.
Is. I don't know what it is. You
it
know,
was that it, upper respiratory disease.
I know. I almost want to say it was like parvo for dogs. But
also?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the 90s.
That was 25 years ago.
Yeah, this was early in the early 90s when they figured it out, you know. And
well, my
these
pillow wasn't
two
around,
researchers so. That went out and did it, you know, would go and capture my pillow. I love my pillow. would capture them. They weren't, you know, cleaning. And so all the sick tortoises got the healthy tortoises sick, and the population decreased by over half. And it was associated
to these knuckleheads
and they
this
associated
out.
It to it took them like what 2 years or 3 years to figure out what they were because the population it was it followed the researcher around, so they were able to figure out what happened and how
is he in jail now?
It takes a while to figure.
So.
No, nobody got in
nobody
trouble.
Got yeah. Unfortunately, nobody. Yeah,
it's
got
just
in
a
trouble.
Turtle.
But thousands of desert tortoises died because of this.
But
yeah,
God forbid somebody kills 100 of them.
Lots of.
So the desert tortoise has been a problem for us. And, I mean, the money they've spent on fencing and studies. Chris Sprofera would go to these meetings. They have a desert tortoise recovery group meeting. And instead of coming up with ideas for things to do, these people would say, well, we need to study this and we need to study that. Well, it turns out that these are people who do studies for a living. And they want to just get paid to do more studies.
Sure, that's all
so they
do.
Would come up, well, we need to study this aspect of the tortoise, blah, blah, blah. So they would just have this endless stream of studies and bring in the results and not implementing reasonable ideas on how to
resolve the issue, how to fix it.
No, they're basically telling you.
How to grow the population.
Just basically telling you, yeah, you know, these tortoises are actually getting the disease and dying.
They got problems.
So you bought a side-by-side. Well, yeah, I had to get out there, and then I had to get a new helmet, and I had to get driver's suit, and I had to get gloves. And, oh, yeah, I can't, you know, I have to have water. So
need a cooler.
You know, I have a cooler, and I have to make sure it's got food in it, and I have to have
yeah, like
okay, so we beat this poor tortoise to death.
Yes, we did.
At the DAC meeting, we also talked about Vinagre Wash, which is an area by the Colorado River. And the people from Walter's camp have been helping them identify the routes that they want to bring into the network. I thought that was cool.
That's awesome.
In Imperial County, the staff have been working on these two routes, the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail and the Backcountry Discovery Trail. These are big nationally known trails that are going to go from Mexico, not all the way north, but a far distance north. And the BLM is on board with making these official routes. So people will travel to Southern California to drive these routes.
Almost like the Pacific Crest, but it's going to like be backcountry for off-highway vehicles.
But it's for off-highway vehicles.
I'm
yeah.
so excited.
So we can go out there. And believe it or not, Audrey, you've been on some of those routes.
I will plan a trip to do the whole thing, start to finish.
Can I come with?
I would love it. Let's do
all
it.
All right. So they've been working on the flat-tailed horned lizard. That's a lizard that they've been trying to get on the endangered species list. Three federal listing attempts and two state attempts. They failed. So when they tried to get it on the list, there's 11 different government agencies in Imperial County that got together. They formed a group. They said, if this gets on the list, it's going to be very difficult for us. So let's get together and do stuff to protect this lizard and try to keep it off the list. So they call it the MOG, the Managers Oversight Group. So the MOG have come up with a variety of stipulations. It's like 2.5 pages of stuff they do. And the BLM just had a counting expedition. They have areas that are assigned to them, and they said they found 151 lizards since June. And some of them they tag and they weigh them and they look at them and they put them back. And so they're doing stuff. So flat-tailed horned lizards live in Ocotillo Wells. And they have tried to get it on the list so that they could close Ocotillo Wells. Audrey was saying earlier they want to go after Ocotillo Wells. This is one of the tools they've used. And in two of the listing attempts, I've submitted comments to Fish and Wildlife asking them not to put it on the list. I remember I did the Freedom of Information Act request. Yep. I got a mountain of information and sorted through that, and I sent some of that to the Fish and Wildlife. So that was something.
We have one of our members, Steve Cheney, who used to work for
State Parks. Yeah.
who was in charge of doing counting. And so
he learned how to find them.
Yeah, so he actually helped us a lot with that as well. So that's
so he
huge.
Was a help, for sure.
Constant,
we have to wrap it up. We've got less than 30 seconds, so I would just like
fight,
to say,
so join
SDORC. The Constant Battle is here. These are all things that we work on.
They will try to get that lizard back on the list again. We're going to fight it. We have a lobbyist we're working with.
And we're going to get her on KCBQ. So stay tuned. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
Thanks for joining us at San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.